When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Professional Insight Podcast, episode 35, season 2. Thank you very much to our sponsors, Brand Boulevard. And if you've been listening up until now, it's obviously our sponsors are Purell.
Tim Hortons we're trying to get, too.
Oh,
so.
God. And just this pandemic.
Isn't Roll Up the Rim already started?
It's online this time now. Like March 11th.
Yeah, but I thought they had specialty cups that they were giving out, like reusable or ones that you had to buy.
They're trying to save face by killing the Roll Up the Rim.
I don't know. This one is In God We Trust, so it's American.
America.
Yeah.
America. Anyway, my name is Brandon Curry.
I'm Jeff Collins.
I'm Josh Bond.
And Trevor Lindy.
So we've been getting some questions to all of us, actually, because we all have experience, but mainly the lawyer specific, the more lawyer-ish questions. rules and regulations and all that crap. About having tenants and having a rental property, tenant or what we like to call it,
buying
landlord.
And selling and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, let me look at it first of all from a purchaser's perspective. If you're buying a property, you got to make sure that your intentions are well addressed, and Jeff, you'll attest to this, within the agreement of purchase and sale. If you're buying something other than a single family residence or even a single family residence that is tenanted.
Yes.
Okay.
Residential real estate.
I'm not talking commercial. Commercial is a little bit unique. Give me a call or give your lawyer a call with respect to advice with respect to commercial real estate. But on the residential side, if you're looking at a tenanted property, you have to make sure, one, if you want to live in this property, that it's very clear that what you want is vacant possession of the property on closing and that you're not assuming any tenancies in the agreement of purchase and sale.
You want to look at their leases for sure, right?
100%.
Is it 100%. Month? Is it yearly? Is, you know,
well, yeah. And that's just it. Legally speaking, under the Landlord-Tenant Act, if it is a termed tenancy, mm-hmm. you can't request vacant possession until the end of that tenancy. And a lot of people...
Unless the tenant otherwise agrees to an early termination.
Then you got to compensate them now too, right?
Usually there's a compensation piece. That's going to be negotiated.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little... The compensation piece is more around you trying to take the security back. So trying to occupy it yourself, you're supposed to give them...
Well, the difficult part now is if you're evicting a tenant, the rents are astronomical now. So if they've got a beneficial rent rate, they're not getting...
So, and
well, just now, see, that goes to the... Now, if you're going to occupy this property, mm-hmm. right, there's certain... there's certain set grounds under which you can evict a tenant mm-hmm. under the Residential Tenancies Act. One of them is for owner occupancy, right? So if you want to occupy that property that's currently
or immediate
tenanted,
family too, right?
Or immediate family, then, I mean, that's something that has to be covered off within your agreement of purchase and sale, and you have to require the seller to provide the appropriate notices to the tenants. Mm-hmm. Now, that's going to get you, you know... A foot in the door, at least. Mm-hmm. But that's not the end of the story, right? You still want to insist on a vacant possession of that property.
Mm-hmm.
Just by virtue of the fact that they've issued the appropriate notice doesn't necessarily mean that that tenant's going to be vacated.
No.
Correct.
Right? Because a lot of times what you'll do in law is you'll run that notice with an application to actually evict the tenant.
Well, and this is where you got to be really careful how you do up the actual paperwork for agreement of purchase and sale, because some people can put on there, if it's not vacant on closing, I can walk.
Yes.
And some people say you have to assume the tenant
Correct.
Regardless. If they don't get out, it's not
Correct.
My problem.
Yes.
Right. So you really got to see how it's worded, because some agents will put it some way,
Very
some
much
put it the
so.
Other way, and
yep.
it's just the wording. So really, lawyer approval,
yeah.
I'd say, is a must on any kind of purchase like that.
Lining up your closing date, right? Like that's something that can be an easier way to do it,
yep.
right? Where, you know, they've got to give notice from the first of the month. It's 60 days notice, as long as it's month to month or the
yeah,
end of the tenancy is coming up.
The first of the month. Close a couple days
that's
later,
exactly what
so
I'm saying. So it gives them the opportunity to make sure, yeah, as the purchaser, to make sure it's vacant.
For me, as the buying agent, I put the onus on the seller. If I was the seller, I'd put the onus in the buyer. So that's the argument you got right there, right? Yep. And any lawyer would do the same thing for his client.
100%.
Correct.
So it's kind of a match of wits. Who's going to get their...
Yeah, it's a negotiating piece, right?
You know, and it because can come it down to headache. Where you could kill that right there, too. So it's... There's so many headaches in it.
It's a very finicky process. It could go smooth. Don't get me wrong, right? I mean it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like I've had as many smooths as I've had problems
when the tenant doesn't want to leave.
Right, that's the flip side.
That's when it becomes the problem. When
and
the
that's
tenant
why I was saying, don't only require that notice is given, but require that vacant possession is provided. So anybody selling the property should at that point in time say, well, I'm not only giving them the notice, I'm also bringing an application before the board.
I mean, give them sign an N11 if they can.
If they can, right? Absolutely.
That's the problem.
Because you have that ability because the purchaser is going to occupy the property.
Yeah.
That enables you to give a 60-day notice.
I also saw whispers of Ford trying to make it easier to evict people and all that right now. There's a big
that was floating around on social media.
The one notice you're referring to is that a notice that you would give, a landlord would give to a tenant that you mutually agree to the end of the tenancy.
Correct.
So if that's set, now...
The Residential Tenancies... Hold on a sec.
Yep.
The Residential Tenancies Act have prescribed forms, too.
Yeah. Correct.
That these notices have to be
put on.
That's
a mutual agreement,
one's a mutual agreement.
Anybody listening needs to know that any communication between landlord and tenant, tenant and landlord... must use the prescribed forms by the landlord-tenant board. Otherwise, anything you're trying to do is null and void.
Could not necessarily null and void, but could definitely compromise your position in all of it, right?
The reason I say null and void is because if you try to go before the board without the proper forms, the board's just going to throw it out.
So basically,
if I got an email from me to my client, my tenant, and saying, do you agree to move out on this day?
Doesn't
they say
mean
yes.
Anything.
That means nothing.
No, nope.
I don't
mean anything.
Full disclosure, I don't practice residential tenancies.
Yeah.
So I don't know definitively if you would have any standing at all, if there's at least something in writing is better than nothing.
Yeah.
But my understanding is you want the full protection, put it on the proper form.
Put it on the proper form. Right? So I've had it in two different ways where the tenant has just typed me up a letter saying that I'm ending tenancy. And landlord-tenant board told me I'm SOL. There's nothing I can do about it.
Oh, so they did it. They lied, and then they
basically, the reason I was having the situation to begin with is all of a sudden the first of the month has passed. I've got new tenants moving in, and they can't get in because the old tenants are still there.
Jeez.
That was a nightmare to be in. And then I've had it where a tenant has said to me. A tenant has given me notice that they're going to be leaving at a certain date via text message.
Yep.
And I was able to take that text message history and apply to the board for an eviction order. So that's the difference, right? Like there's notices and then there's request for eviction. The landlord-tenant board is the only one that can actually... enforce it.
That's
the sheriff
the
is
the
responsible
story, right?
for enforcement that's of right. it, but they can rule in favor of. And in my instance with the text message scenario, was the tenant sent me a text message, didn't leave. I'm saying, well, no, you told me you're out. They were a nightmare tenant to begin with, and they were just manipulating the system
which
to try and stay.
This,
you know exactly which one it was because we ended up selling.
Nightmares.
I've had a few. But no, this one was over the property on Linwell with the last tenants. Yeah. The ones that made me decide I'm done landlording. And that stole my appliances. Yeah, my fridge and my dishwasher.
That was a good experience.
Anyways, to get that, to get the eviction order put in place, the landlord-tenant board said, no, based on your application.
They didn't recognize? No,
they actually did in this instance.
Okay.
They said, based on my application for eviction, the history of... Because there's a couple of applications that you can get for your computer that will actually timestamp and like properly... Like enough so that a court would have enough evidence to basically
that's
be able to support a decision. So there was enough evidence through the text message history there that they were able to grant the eviction order in my case. They didn't need to. Now, for all intents and purposes, the tenant could have still appealed the decision.
Yeah.
They still had a window of opportunity to appeal the decision, go before the board. Now that would have been an even bigger headache.
But just don't do it, right? I mean, don't rely on it. Unless you're in a position where you're absolutely forced to.
Lawyer approval, right? Lawyer approval.
Well, one of the comments that you made, though. So you get it on the proper form. Hey, I'm selling the property. Person buying the property, it's written properly in the agreement that they're occupying or occupied. So I'm covered now as the seller of that property. As the seller, though, I can't apply to the board for eviction order until the date has passed.
Date has passed for notice?
So I give no, so I, for them to leave. So right now, let's say, so we're.
I don't believe that's correct. I'd have to double check that, but I'm pretty sure that you can run your application.
Yeah.
They won't necessarily hear you.
Yeah.
But I believe you can bring your application.
So it lines up time.
So it lines up.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd have to double check. Yeah. I'd have to double check to make
like
certain.
Like, I subscribe to Landlord Self-Help Center, which is a great resource. I was able to buy a lifetime membership. Yeah, as a landlord, they only help landlords. They don't help tenants. And that was my experience with them. And the reason I bring that, because you call the landlord-tenant board for a question. You can call the landlord-tenant board, let's say, two different times. And one of the people you're getting on the phone is a tenant themselves. Another person you're getting on the phone is a landlord themselves. Yep. You will get two completely different answers, skewed.
Yeah.
Whereas when I called the Landlord Self-Help Center, as a member, I'm allowed to do so. When I would pick up the phone and call them and ask questions of them, that was the answer that I got, is until you can't apply. So you give notice. So let's say right now, so it would be April 1. So the earliest would be May 31st that the tenant would have to be out. They informed me that in this case, May 31st would be at that date if they weren't out. That would be the date that I would have to file for the eviction order, because you're not actually filing for eviction because you've given them the agreement that you've entered into this purchase and sale agreement and they need to vacate by. So here's that. So until they what's the right word I'm looking for? Until they disobey the request to vacate, you can't request an eviction order from the landlord tenant board.
I don't see.
That's what Landlord Self-Help Center has told me.
Yeah.
I'm going on that.
I'd have to double check next time we're in. I'll get confirmation of that. Because my understanding was that you can bring the application.
Yep.
You don't want it heard, obviously.
Okay.
Right? Because you can't have it heard that they didn't evict.
They didn't leave.
Vacate on the basis of this notice if that time frame hasn't lapsed.
Yes.
But if you bring an application that runs congruently with that time frame,
yep,
then you're not in a position where you've issued the notice, the notice has lapsed, and then you're starting the process, because then you're looking at it on top of the two-month notice.
Yes.
Just say two-month notice for owner occupancy.
Yeah.
You're adding another couple of months on for the application process before the board.
You're at the very least, you're adding on a few weeks. The reason why I say a few, you could very well be right if it ends up being a couple of months, because if it's a circumstance where now the landlord-tenant board wants to hear both sides of the case in order to, you're dragged out, right? But if it's something that they can make the ruling on and just say, oh, no, plain and simple. But in something like that, unfortunately, they're going to probably drag it out.
Yeah, but May 31st, if you're not allowed to even apply until after the notice expires, then you've got to submit the application. Yes. You got to get a hearing date, right? And I don't think that
sometimes
that
hearing dates aren't even granted, though. That's where I'm going with that of it. Sometimes they don't, like in my case, where I was saying they made a determination based on the text message and my request for eviction, like my application. There was enough evidence there that they didn't need to hear any more from me. And they determined that
Did it just on the basis of an application that you submitted?
Along with the text message correspondence.
With evidence.
With supporting evidence. They were able to grant me the eviction order.
Yeah.
We didn't have to arrange a court date.
What does Facebook say?
Who gives what Facebook says?
Just trying to lighten it up a little bit,
I hear you.
Staring each other's eyes.
Well, speaking from my personal experience, actually using the government forms actually saved my bacon.
Yes.
Because in this particular case, because you were the one, Trevor, that advised me, don't do anything, email, text, nothing, use those N11s and whatever.
Yeah.
And so what happened was, is my clients were, my tenants were, they were buying a home.
Yeah, well, what, they tenant, were your client, client, they were your tenant. Your that's what I mean.
Oh,
yeah,
got
yeah.
it.
I don't
got
mean
it.
Like Sun Life, C.R. Smith Financial
oh,
client,
got it,
I'm
got
just
it,
talking.
Got it. Yeah, so they were they advised me, hey, we put an offer on the house. We're going to be moving out end of February. Now, based on
this is the what, condo we sold.
Yeah, this yeah. is this yeah. is before this is what per, start. Remember, I told you we couldn't sell until I wanted you to start in March, and then anyway, long story short, they said we'll be out by the end of February. I said, great. Here's the form that you have to sign. Here's my signature. Agreed that it says
we're
February 28th. So they signed, sent it back. Well, during what ended up happening was there was a domino effect that the person that was selling their house or buying another property
moved it up
because the property that they purchased fell through. Yeah. Well, they were great tenants, so I didn't really care, but it affected us whether or not we could sell. But you wanted to wait till the spring market anyway. Mm-hmm. However, I used that as leverage and said, listen, you have a form that
you gotta be out.
Is saying end of February. So... because I have, they go, this is a government form. I go, all right, you know what? We'll do a revision until the end of March, but you got to let my realtor to come in and I need
get the work done.
Yeah. I need the floors done. I need that.
Sure, 100%.
And so I had them bent over a barrel, essentially, legally, and I told them that what the consequences were.
But see, realistically, you didn't have them bent over a barrel because at the end of the day, they didn't vacate. What are you going to do?
Well, so you...
I could ask for an eviction order.
Yeah, and how long is that going to take?
Well, I don't know.
More than a month, probably.
Yeah, but what you don't know. But they were great people. I did not go down that path
but
with
that,
them.
That's a fortunate story.
It is a fortunate story.
Yeah. A lot of times when you're in that situation...
But imagine if I didn't use the N8 or whatever it was. Right? I wouldn't have had any teeth. That wouldn't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah. I think that one was... N11 is mutual.
Well,
regardless.
I think that's what he entered into, though, an agreement to end the...
They both parties agreed to it.
I think it's an...
I think most people would be more worried if you sign a paper they're going to follow
I've been out of practice. Right.
Some
of them
are
going to
go against it. They're not most of
them
won't.
I did it in 2006, I think, residential tenancies.
Yeah, like it's been a while for me, so to remember specifically what the actual...
But I have no desire to be a tenant.
Now, one thing, you know, for anybody listening that might be thinking, so Brandon didn't have to sign anything with them to extend, as he, for all intents and purposes, legally could have applied to the board for eviction within 30 days of them not... So if February 28th was the date, you had until... March 31st
so
to actually
to amend it though, to a different date if he was extending though, right? Because if you
well, the only problem in extend the only problem in extending it is now all of a sudden they've just got an extra 30 days. Whereas in that circumstance, if it was February 28th, as long as you applied to the board by March 31st for eviction order, you just have to provide notice. It's
but
not even going to get it.
So
they yeah. Like in his case, like they were good.
If anybody else is in these circumstances, you don't necessarily
don't extend
have
it.
To,
yeah, you don't have
you might
to extend
be
it.
Shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah, don't extend.
Yeah.
You're going
to
give them
intending
another 30
days.
Days.
You're going to give them 60.
Yeah,
right. Because of the procedural time frame.
And by coming into agreement, the landlord tenant board, you could end up being in a position where you're tied up in their court system for 8 weeks.
Well, there's definitely an appeal period, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Usually for any
is.
Order. So I mean, even after you've got an order from the tribunal that says your tenant is to vacate on this date, they cannot leave.
I thought he lost his train of thought.
It's frustrating because even at that point where you've gone through giving them the notice, going to a hearing, getting a decision, the tenant still doesn't move out, you got to hire the sheriff and you got to pay more cash.
Real quick, here's a horror story from Adam, one of our mutual clients.
Yeah.
First student rental property he bought, the landlord put it up for sale because the tenants were not paying rent. So 6 months, loses it to power of sale. This is when I was really new of it.
Yeah.
Bought it, decent deal, like $135 way back in the day, right? Bought it, took possession. He moved in. They signed everything they're supposed to.
Yeah.
Took possession. He goes in there with sledgehammers the day after 5:30 in the morning. They're still sleeping upstairs. Comes to fisticuffs almost.
Oh, wow.
Police are called. Police come there. The tenants had the rights. Couldn't do nothing. As soon as it changed possession of power of sale, all the rent they were done was wiped out, started new, had to get them out. And you know the only way we got them out?
Sheriff.
$250, you get them out in a week. You get out in a week, $250 cash to you. First guy took it.
Yeah.
Gone in a day. Second guy, a day after a week, I'm out now, where's my money? You're a day late. Exchanged. But all that rent wiped out for 6 months that made the landlord lose the property because he couldn't afford to pay the bills.
Yeah.
Start it new on a power sale. So if you ever buy a power sale that's a rental property, you better get lawyer's approval on there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a world of hurt if you don't.
It's bad.
It's worth the money you're paying the lawyer to look it over.
Now, that's a little bit of a different situation as well. Obviously, contact the lawyer. If you're in a situation where what you're buying is a student rental, where there's a shared kitchen and shared facilities, because that's
a power sale too. Like.
Power sale. But just in terms of all of our discussion has been surrounded like self-contained units, not shared.
Yeah.
Because there's different provisions, and I don't even know if the Residential Tenancies Act applies to a situation where there's
there's fire safety issues and all that too, and then
it comes down to bylaws and
burn rates. Sprinkler systems,
separate entrances, fire doors,
or even separate heating systems and stuff like that. Like, it's crazy the differences on it.
Yeah.
Anyways, just throw a little caution to the wind if you're buying something. Throw caution to the wind.
And I think the message to take from this podcast is that people are hot looking for investment properties because rents are sky high. But the gray hairs they induce are
it's I'm
you can make good money off it.
Commercial is one thing. Commercial, I'd probably entertain, but residential, never again.
That property you guys have right now for Doug's, where I dropped off the, the gorgeous in there. Wow,
thank you.
Was that the Link?
Yeah, the Link.
It's gorgeous in there. That is like New York.
Yeah, it is cool. Pretty cool.
But it was actually I wanted to talk to Cully after Wise Guys because. I read a very good article that was centered around the Lincoln and how it was.
Yeah, I know. It's really nice.
Yeah. And
doing well.
Helped revitalize or assist in revitalizing the downtown core.
Yeah.
But anyways, I digress from there.
Well, thanks, everyone.
Yeah, we could. That's like that's like pulling a big tooth.
Oh,
right?
God.
He's got so many
We'll give him a shirt from Nash. Yeah. If he shows up.
Well, thanks very much, everyone, for listening. Thank you for participating and sending in your questions. And
we think you should petition Trevor to get a shirt.
Yeah, and to our sponsors, Brand Boulevard,
by July.
GoFundMe page.
Help us. Guaranteed. Help you stay informed.
Cheers.
Out.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of five podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundle from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Produced by Cryer Media and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.